We're kicking off 2024 with this series, Fight, because we believe that 2024 is an important year, that God has some things on his radar that he wants to accomplish, but we as Christians shouldn't just assume that 2024 is going to be a better year for you individually or us collectively, unless we choose to walk with God into whatever he would have for us in 2024. And we believe that that's going to be a fight, that that's something that you're going to, in our culture, have to fight for. And for the Christian, we got to figure out not only who we fight, but what we fight, but maybe most importantly, how we fight. And so we're in that conversation as the Canadian philosopher reminded us that we become what we behold, whatever we gaze at, and then it's our responsibility to build tools that then those tools will over time shape us. And so we've been talking about, what do these tools look like? Last week we talked about the word. This morning we're going to talk about prayer. Next week we're going to talk about generosity. And the week after that, we'll talk about accountability. What does it look like to walk in the tools that God has invited us into? This morning's prayer. I have one of those funny, not funny realities in my life. Several years ago, I was gifted a second generation Apple smartwatch. I was training at the time and I was in the pool a lot, and it was the one that was waterproof. And so it was like so awesome to have that. And it had this feature on it that at the beginning was cool. It was this feature that would teach you how to breathe or remind you to breathe. You guys know how to do that, right? I assumed I did too. This thing would say like morning, noon, midday, evening, and then at night it would give you a minute and it would give you time and it would give you a cadence kind of to breathe. And the first week I was on rhythm with my breathing and it was like, oh, okay, cool. And then the next week came and it became annoying to have this thing like zapping me to remind me to breathe. I no longer wear a smartwatch, I wear a dumb watch. I don't need those types of reminders in my life. At least I didn't think I did. I got rid of that watch because it annoyed me. A few years before that, if I had been reading the radar, a few years before that, I had started to develop like those voice nodule things up in my throat, and we were in college ministry, and this college-age gal who was a speech pathologist, she said, hey, what's going on in your voice? It's because, well, you don't know how to breathe. You need to breathe correctly, and if you breathe correctly, then you will speak correctly, and it will come from your diaphragm, not from your upper throat, and that will be healthy and helpful for you. And she offered to coach me. So I got some coaching in breathing and speaking, and I was grateful. And you know what I did? As soon as I felt better, I put away the breathing exercises. The pandemic hit a couple years ago. My back locked up on me, and I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. And I'm like, I got to get my back fixed. And a physical therapist helped me tremendously in that space of getting my back fixed. But you know what she told me? Predominantly, she taught me how to breathe. But she didn't tell me I just needed to know how to breathe. She told me I needed to actually take the time to breathe. I have a wife who's gracious to me, and she understands these things. And oftentimes she will just say, take a breath. And she'll say, that rib flare that you have going on is not good. Practice your umbrella breathing. Apparently what comes very natural to all of you, I struggle with. You ever feel that way about prayer? You realize like we all pray. Every one of us prays all the time. Prayer is to call upon something. And you're always calling upon something. The question is, when we talk about prayer, are you doing so in a wise and effective way? Because you're always praying. Your prayers just may be like my breathing. If you don't think about it, you won't do it correctly, and over time, you'll pay the consequence for not finding yourself understanding what this looks like. So I want to take some time this morning to help all of us take another step in our journey with God through prayer. If you want to jump in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 11 following there. And as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'll remind you, this is Paul, a spiritual father instructing Timothy, a spiritual son, that this is an intergenerational conversation. This is the reminder, we're in this together. We're not against each other, we're for each other. And most importantly, on our best days, we're with each other in this fight. And so Paul writes this, he says in verse 11, "But as for you, O man of God," speaking to Timothy, "flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Each week as we gather around this conversation on fight, we're going to behold the God that Paul uses in that doxology to point him and Timothy to, the sovereign one, the Holy of Holies, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who dwells in unapproachable light. And we're going to behold that, and then we're going to look around Paul and Timothy's life and see what did they use to help them or shape them into a meaningful relationship to the one who is holy. Last week, we walked through this text looking at the verbs, the action points, and we said the tool that helps us know where to take action is the Word of God. If you missed last week's message, I would encourage you to pick that back up. And also, don't forget to grab on the guest center out at the info wall, this resource that has different apps that you can integrate the word into your daily life so that God and you can go into conversation on what it looks like for you to walk with him through the power of his word. Take action on that. The word will help you do that. This morning, though, I want to look at this simple word within this text. You heard it twice, and then you heard it in a different way a third time. This simple word is presence. Just like breathing, it's often overlooked. It's like the obvious, but we forget about it. Did you notice in the text that Paul tells Timothy, don't forget who we stand in the presence of? I charge you with the most important conversation and reality in your life. He says, I charge you in the presence of God. After already letting Timothy know, you live in the presence of many witnesses. Some of these witnesses are just like us gathered together this morning. We're like-minded, like-spirited, trying to plow in the same direction. But we also have people that are bearing witness that don't understand the world the way that we see it. And Paul's telling Timothy, they bear witness to your life too. So you stand in the presence of these people. This other word, though, is the one who dwells. The Holy One, God. Where does he dwell? It says he dwells in the unapproachable light, meaning he is above all and beyond all, and yet he is for all. And so how do we take a God who's dwelling in that space and be present with him and with each other? Prayer is the conversation space where that happens. It's part of what we fight. Don't forget why we fight. Look at verse 12 of this text. It says we fight the good fight of faith. Why do we do that? So that we can take hold of the eternal life to which we were called and about which we made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We fight the good fight. This take hold of eternal life. How do we make that tangible? We make that tangible as we bring presence together, as we bring dwelling together, as we take our responsibility in grabbing hold of this conversation. We make that tangible through prayer. My favorite definition or understanding of prayer is simply this. Prayer is to relax into the presence and the goodness of God. Now, I understand that some of you hear the word relax and you think binge watch your favorite TV series. I'm not talking about chillax, all right? That's not what we're doing. You can chillax with God, but when I say relax into the presence of God, think of it more as stretching and alignment. You know when you show up to those areas of your life where you need to stretch certain muscles in your life, you do that trusting that it will help you in the future be strengthened in a new direction. Or you know when your body's out of alignment that you go to put it back in line so that you will function better. You and I are to relax, to stretch into, to be aligned into the presence and the goodness of God. Now I'm going to be incredibly human with you. You've been in PE class. You've been to the doctor. You've been to the chiropractor. You've been to the massage therapist. You've been to the physical therapist. You've been to your stretching, yoga, Pilates class. And you know when that professional in your life, the one you've trusted this service to, and they say to you, just relax. And your response is in your head. Of course, you wouldn't say this out of your mouth. Your response is, if I relax anymore, something that is humiliating to me and disgusting to you is going to come out. You've been there, right? And that, well, that's what we have to talk about when we're talking about prayer. You're calling upon something as you live life. And the question is do you fully trust the one who is saying, relax into my goodness and my presence? And there what we find as we do that there's certain things within us that are absolutely humiliating. There's things about me that I'm absolutely frustrated with that are inside of me that I've got to wrestle through and try to figure out how do I bring those in alignment to who Jesus is and what he has called of me. And if I were to share those out of my mouth, you would be disgusted by that reality. And it's prayer that helps us go, how do I handle this stuff in a meaningful and powerful and transformative way in my life, in your life, in our collective lives? This word presence that you see in the text is to be in the sight of, to understand that this is a person making an opinion about you. This is the one you stand in the presence of judgment. And you can feel it, right? We Americans don't like this conversation. I don't care about other people's opinions. Ain't nobody gonna judge me. And we like puff our chest a little bit, like, I got this. Isn't it funny? We don't care about anybody else's opinion in our life. And the second we say that, what occupies your head and your heart? Other people's opinions. Right? And you become anxious about, well, what are they thinking about me? What should I do about that? I say I don't care, but I do care. Prayer is the better space. This is the reality. There are witnesses. You stand before God. You stand before other people, and their opinions are there, and their judgments are there. And prayer is the place where we more healthily wrestle with our reality in this space. Prayer is the place where we relax into the presence and the goodness of God. Because prayer is simply calling upon the deepest thing that you know, which is how you know that everybody prays. Some of you, well, you call upon your parents or the heritage of your grandparents, or you call upon your bank account, or you call upon your professional network, or you call upon your grit. And you just pray to that. And then all of a sudden you're frustrated that God didn't listen to you or answer to you. Well, you didn't pray to him. You prayed out of the deepest thing that you chose to know in that moment, rather than the deepest thing that could have been known in that moment. Prayer is to call upon the deepest thing that we know. And hopefully the deepest thing that you're growing in your knowing of is Jesus as your saving King. As Paul and Timothy are having this conversation about presence, we know that prayer is of the utmost importance, because back in chapter 2, when there were people gathering, as Paul's coaching Timothy and dealing with those in Ephesus, it is a land of great opportunity, but immense distraction. And he says there's division among them, and there's false teachings, and there's wrestlings with how we're going to move forward in all of this. And he says, one of the first things you got to do, Timothy, is you have to gather these people around the transformative work of prayer. And prayer isn't this one little thing. It's a holistic way of living. Listen to the text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, "First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings." That's all different forms of prayer. We're not going to go into all the forms of prayer, but just recognize there's lots of forms of prayer there. And who are they made for? They're made for all people, for the kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Did you listen there? As Christians, how we fight is just as important of the fact that we need to fight. And last week, you saw that gentleness was one of the ways the word describes us as fighting. Here you see in prayer, it is about figuring out how to be peaceful and find strength in the quiet life and godliness and being dignified in every way. This, it says, is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of our truth. But what anchors our prayer? This is the deepest thing that we know. It says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." When you and I pray, we pray in the good news that Jesus is the saving King, and he wants what's not only best for you, but he wants what is best for all. And so what does it look like for us to be formed in that direction as we pray? To relax into the goodness and the presence of God. To grow in trusting the deepest thing that can be known, and hopefully that we know, in the one whom paid everything so that you and I could have conversation, honest and open, in the presence of God and in the presence of people in a redemptive way. This morning, I want to help us be practical. As I've been listening to God in my own life and walking and listening to many of you and many in our community and around the world that I have access to, I've been listening and saying, God, show up in these conversations and teach us how to listen. In very practical ways, the reality is that you and I are living in a world of hoops. We shouldn't be surprised by this. We were designed to live in the full presence of God, being able to walk openly in the presence of people. And then sin entered in, and we did things that are humiliating and disgusting to God, to ourselves, and to one another. And all of a sudden, because of that disconnect in all of those things, now we live in a land of hoops. And it's like, what do we do with the hoops? When you talk to people about what does tomorrow look like? What does next week look like? What are you going to do a half a year from now, a year from now, a decade from now? It's pretty quickly that most people are like, I got some pretty legitimate concerns. I'm worried about where things are going. And you just listen to people's worries, and it doesn't take some people long to spiral themselves out of control because of the deep concerns that this broken world has. This is a hoop. That's a reality. It's real to us. But I also listen to people, even some of those same people that have deep concerns, they also have this hoop of like goals and dreams for their life. The biblical concept of this is hope. that we have hope that God has something in front of us that is worth pursuing, and that he's going to be redemptive, not just in this moment, but at some point he's going to be completely redemptive in the way that he walks all of us into our forever eternity in his full presence. And so, like, what do I do with this hoop? And as I wrestle with my concerns and as I wrestle with hopes and dreams, you get in these conversations and all of a sudden it's like, well, what are we going to do? And the hoop of ourself pops up and we quickly recognize that we're finite, that we have limited energies, and how we invest those energies matter. And I was talking to a guy just a few weeks ago and he literally said this to me. He said, man, it feels like the pandemic was just yesterday, while simultaneously it feels like it was a whole lifetime ago. When we kind of recognize our energies, it's like, I want to get after that stuff, but what do I get after? And I believe in all of us, in our immature moments, we try to take very complex things and oversimplify them. And immaturity is like, well, I'm just going to focus on my concerns. And in doing that, we dig a really deep hole for ourselves and for others. We live out of a bunch of insecurity, and we let that paralyze us and jade our perspective on how we treat others. Or maybe you're on the more optimistic side and you're like, I'm going to go after all of my goals and my dreams. And really, if you're honest with yourself, you just have a selfish pursuit of the future. It's all about you. It's like, can I just get through this life alive and well? I don't really care about everybody else. Prayer doesn't do that. Did you hear how Paul taught Timothy to pray? We pray for all people at all times, that everyone would come to a saving understanding of the good news of Jesus, the one who is our mediator between us and God. And then others of us, we just are like, I'm just going to focus on myself. Right now, we're really focused on self-care. And my concern about this hoop is self-care can really quickly become selfishness, where it's just all about self. And I think we have to assess ourselves in prayer. Are we being truly self-caring, or are we just being selfish in the way we care? You see, we oversimplify things oftentimes in our immaturity, but in our maturity, we allow these hoops to come together. We look at this and we say, okay, what are my concerns? What are God's hopes, my dreams? And what's my energy? And how do I overlay those things? And I'm not a circus master, so I'm not going to hold these very well, but I put a Venn diagram up here for you just to ponder. I believe, whether it's these words or words that God gives you, I believe that as you think about prayer in your life tomorrow and in the weeks to come, that this will help you, where you take your concerns and God's hopes for the future and your energies, your gifts, your talents, your personalities, your wiring, your profession, your family, whatever energies you have, and you prayerfully say, God, help me to see where the Holy Spirit will meet us in the middle and help us give our best energy in the direction that will move not just us, but will move those around us to the likeness of your son, Jesus. I think that this conversation matters. You need to assess the hoops in your life and ask yourself, what does it look like to relax into the presence and the goodness of God and to trust the deepest thing that you know in the person of Jesus to start shaping the way we live through the hoops of life? The reality is that everybody prays, just like everybody breathes. But if we're honest, some of us need some prayer coaching, because the prayers that we've been praying are just, well, what we grew up doing, but they're not the way God intended for you and I to be in connection with him. And if you feel like, well, man, I feel way behind on schedule, that I don't know how to breathe, and I'm 37 years old, and I don't know how to pray, and I'm whatever years old, you're in good company, Because as Jesus introduced the kingdom of God in a new way of living, he actually started much of this conversation by saying to his disciples, his followers, let me teach you how to pray. They had already known how to pray. They had already grew up in a culture that prayed. Just like you're growing up in a culture that's praying to a lot of different things, Jesus taught us to pray to the one thing that could transform us. And listen, as he teaches his disciples to pray, in Matthew chapter 6, he writes this to the disciples. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into a room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Some of us just need to grow in our knowing of how to pray. And when I say some of us, I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to me. Because just as you breathe, don't assume that you're breathing correctly. And just as you pray, don't assume that you're doing so in a way that the culture hasn't rubbed off on you and got you praying in the wrong ways. This is not a checklist form of prayer that Jesus is walking his disciples through. He's saying, hey, the culture is praying all over the place, but don't do it like they do it. Do it in a way that helps you know God. God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. And as you know that, in a way that will allow you to be known there so that you can live out of this relationship that God has for you. We don't have time this morning to walk through everything about the Lord's Prayer, but do you see as Jesus teaches them, he is repositioning their minds, their hearts, their behaviors, that prayer isn't just some religious thing that we do, but it's actually this being in the presence of God and in the presence of people and figuring out how to dwell with one who is in the unapproachable light, who has gifted us with that light, that it would change our darkness and help us illuminate the darkness among us so that people would return to Jesus. He says, I want to teach you how to do that. So holy is the name of God, he says. We need to know who God is. We need to recognize that. We need to, in our prayers, figure out whose will are we actually trying to find? Are we trying to find our own will, or are we actually genuinely in pursuit of God's will for us? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's a sustainer. We go to God as the one who sustains us in life, the giver of all life and any resource that we need for life. He's the sustainer there. And as we look at God, we see at the back half of that prayer, it's all about redemptive living. Redemptive in the way that God has approached us. And thus, if God would approach us in a redemptive way, we ought to be redeeming in the way that we approach and pray and live with others. We need to know these things. And so maybe your next step is to grow in your knowing of what prayer actually is in your life. Or maybe your next step is actually prayer as a formational tool in your life, where you have known how to pray. You just need to actually integrate it into your life where you would allow it to form you. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes it this way in James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. As we use prayer formationally, do you notice that it involves plurality? That we have trusted voices in our life where we actually confess to God and to those trusted voices that there's things in my life that are humiliating and disgusting. And we allow that space to be a place where we can prayerfully move each other into the likeness of Jesus. And as we do this, did you notice what it does? Where the power is? The power is in the righteousness, having a right relationship with God and seeking right relationships with each other that are based in the person and the work of Jesus. Our prayers become powerful and effective. Do you trust Jesus on the other side of your prayer with your formation? When you take prayer or a situation in prayer to God, do you actually trust that Jesus will meet you there in a way better than you might have met yourself there? And are you willing to allow him to form you in that space? We confess to Jesus and to one another that we might experience healing. Or as we've been talking about this morning, that we might find strength and alignment so that we can walk like we were intended to into the future. It's not just about formation, though. I want to make this very clear as we walk through this series. We are not trying to pick up religious habits for religious sake. We are trying to do things that allow us to walk the way we were designed in the presence of God, in the very dwelling of God. And so this isn't just about knowing how to pray. This isn't just about praying effective prayers so that we can become more selfish in the way that we live as Christians. This is about transformational prayer. And maybe you need to take a step into that transformative relationship where you would say, God, not only do I want to know you in prayer, not only do I want to be formed with you in prayer, this is really about me walking with you and with others in a prayerful life. That's been the heartbeat of God and the heartbeat of God's people for all time. God has always, in any season and in every season of life, tried to figure out how to be more fully present with his people. Listen to how the prophet speaks on behalf of what God says. He says this in Isaiah 57:15. He says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." The one who dwells in unapproachable light, who, as Isaiah says, who dwells in the high and the holy, he meets those of us who are broken and sorrowful and in pain because of the sin and the disconnect of this world. He meets us in the lowly. And in prayerful transformation does life-changing work. God wants you and I to learn to grow into that relationship where we would trust him daily, throughout our day, to rely on him as the deepest thing that we know and to put the hoops of life together in a way that we would give our best energies to where he would have designed for us to go in that relationship, in that conversation, in that situation. And you're probably thinking, awesome. I want more of that in my life. And you're also thinking to yourself, I've probably tried that before. And Tyler, just like you got rid of the smartwatch and back to the dumb watch, I also have prayed at times in my life and I kind of gotten away from it. The biblical concept for you finding way to get back with God in prayer is called fasting, where you would give up something that you are using to call upon right now. Honestly, you're praying to some low G God, entertainment, whatever it is, your work ethic. And you would fast that and trust God in deep, meaningful prayer. And so what would it look like for you to get to know God more in prayer, to be formed more in prayer, to be transformed in prayer by waking up 15 minutes earlier or staying up 15 minutes later? Or maybe on the odd days of the month, you fast lunch, and on the even days of the month, you fast breakfast. And you take that time to hunger for God in a way that he could step into your world and connect your hoops in a meaningful way and show you how to move forward. Not by your will, but by his transformation, walking with the Spirit. This morning, we believe that what we fight and why we fight should determine how the Christian fights. And so we're going to fight. We're going to fight in prayer. And over this next song, I just want you to reflect and think about, God, how have you shown your faithfulness to me already in the prayers that I've prayed in the past? While also thinking about, God, what is my next step in connecting to you more meaningfully in the prayers of my future? Not for my personal benefit, but for the kingdom of God to expand in our lives. And as we reflect and sing through this song, just sit there and allow the Lord to speak to you, to meet you there. And then after that, there will be some scriptures up on the screen that will guide you in just prayerfully thinking through what might it look like this week to take your next step in prayer with God. Jesus, the deepest thing that we know. The question is do we honestly want to be known by Jesus? I hope the answer for you is yes.